Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. Happy Friday. It's the 6th of February. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. Several lawsuits are alleging abuse and retaliation at the hands of prison guards at women's prisons in California, and that includes a prison in Madera County.
So these lawsuits come at a real moment of reckoning for California's women's prisons.
Coming up, we break down serious allegations against former guards who worked at the women's prison in Chowchilla. But first, these headlines. The Kern County District Attorney is suing an oil and gas producer for alleged environmental violations. This comes as the county's oil production is ramping up under a new state law. KVPR's Crescencio Rodriguez Delgado has this report.
Kern County District Attorney Cynthia Zimmer filed a criminal and civil complaint against 25 Hill Properties Incorporated and its owner, Ronald Engelberg. Zimmer says the company holds multiple oil and gas leases near the city of Taft, but Zimmer is accusing the company of hundreds of violations that were identified by the state agency overseeing oil and gas operations, including allegations of illegal storage and dumping of toxic waste, as well as illegally spilling oil into state waterways. Engelberg's company was previously sued for failing to report spills and illegally disposing of hazardous waste. That case was settled in 2022, but state regulators alleged the company continued to commit violations. Engelberg was arraigned on the new charges on Monday. This case comes as Kern County sees a wave of new oil permits under a state law aiming to boost in-state oil production and lower gas prices. For KVPR News, I'm Crescencio Rodriguez Delgado.
Labor leaders from California and around the country are calling on Governor Gavin Newsom to enact stronger laws when it comes to regulating how AI can be used in the workplace. Organized labor advocates have criticized Newsom for being too deferential to tech companies that oppose AI regulation. They say they want him to pass more workforce protections, especially if he intends to run for president. Liz Schuler is the national president of the American Federation of Labor and Congress of Industrial Organizations, or AFL-CIO.
And so the question for Governor Newsom and every governor across this country, every elected official, is this: will you stand with workers in this AI future? Or will you let big tech and the billionaires upend our jobs, our livelihoods, our rights, and our dignity with nothing in their way?
Newsom's office did not immediately respond to a request for comment. An illegal biolab discovered in Nevada this week is connected to one found 3 years ago in Reedley. And as KVPR's Israel Cardona Hernandez reports, a county ordinance to prevent these labs is more relevant than ever, but few cities have signed on.
In 2023, a biolab containing COVID-19 samples, genetically modified mice, and illegal chemicals was uncovered in Reedley. Shortly after, county leaders enacted an ordinance. It requires private labs to be inspected annually and provides public health officials with quick access to them. Otherwise, private laboratories are not regulated at the state or federal level. However, county leaders say only 5 of Fresno County's 15 cities have signed onto the ordinance. County officials are calling for the remaining cities to accept the ordinance. This all comes after another biolab containing hazardous substances was discovered in Las Vegas earlier this week. And the man who owned it also owned the Reedley lab. He's already facing federal charges related to the lab in Reedley. For KVPR News, I'm Israel Cardona Hernandez.
Amtrak's Gold Runner service is offering half-price train tickets to Ellensworth this Saturday for its Black History Month celebration. The event begins at 11 a.m. with special stops at Colonel Ellensworth State Historic Park in Tulare County. The all-ages event will feature food, vending, music, and guided tours of historic buildings. Ellensworth was founded in 1908 by a former enslaved man as a town where Black families could build lives, businesses, and institutions on their own terms. Amtrak San Joaquin service was rebranded to Gold Runner last year.
Few things in life are certain, but astronomical auto repair bills, that's a sure thing. If the time has come to say goodbye to your old ride, consider donating it to KVPR. The process is free, it'll help fund the independent reporting you rely on, and you'll get a tax break. Visit kvpr.org/cars today for more information and to start the donation process.
And now to our main story. Several lawsuits in recent years have alleged abuse and retaliation against people incarcerated within California's prisons, especially those housing women. The Central California Women's Facility in Chowchilla is no exception. Last year, a former prison guard at the state's largest women's prison was found guilty on more than 60 charges, including rape. And when women are being abused behind bars, they don't have a lot of recourse. Filing unsubstantiated complaints can even jeopardize their shot at parole. Now, another lawsuit alleges incarcerated women faced retaliation for making sexual misconduct complaints against guards. And that retaliation took the form of being rounded up in a cafeteria and pepper sprayed. The incident from August 2024 was even documented in a leaked video that was reviewed by the San Francisco Chronicle. And the screenshots on the Chronicle's website are pretty shocking. They show women in the cafeteria who appear to be running away from what looks like smoke bombs. I want to note that the prison has acknowledged the incident, but did not confirm or deny what's shown in the video. So to break down this lawsuit and what happened in the video, today I'm speaking with Hannah Krenn. She's a reporting fellow with the Investigative Reporting Lab at Yale, whose report was published in the Chronicle. Hannah starts our conversation by explaining how she got wind of the video online.
So I had been following two lawsuits regarding the August 2nd, 2024 incident at Central California Women's Facility, which is the women's prison in Chowchilla. So I had been following these lawsuits. And then in December, I learned of these clips of the leaked videos that had been posted on Instagram. And then I was able to access the full videos through Hector Farrell's website, who was also the person who posted the clips on Instagram.
And he was a former employee at the Chowchilla Women's Facility, correct?
So I know that he was a former correctional officer employed by California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation. I'm not entirely sure whether he was at that Chowchilla prison.
Okay, well, based on the screenshots you include in your piece, it appears to show tear gas being sprayed as a group of women are in a cafeteria area. I understand you were able to review these videos, which were behind a paywall. How does this incident play out for folks who maybe aren't able to see it in totality?
So I can provide a visual description of some of the key events that happen in the videos. So one of the leaked videos begins with this animated conversation between a few incarcerated women and a guard. And then the guard and the main woman involved in the conversation are actually backing away from each other when another guard comes from behind a line of officers and seems to suddenly start spraying pepper spray at the incarcerated women using some sort of launcher. And women are covering their eyes and rushing away from the spray. Some take cover under metal tables, as this was occurring in the prison's cafeteria. And also we're able to see three women who are using their neon vests that they wear to signal physical disabilities, using these vests to cover their faces to shield them from the spray and the smoke.
So what are the allegations against the prison staff in this situation? Because I understand there is a lawsuit here.
So there are actually two lawsuits. One is on behalf of 13 named plaintiffs, and then the second is seeking class action status on behalf of all of the women who were in the cafeteria that day. And the main claim is that the officers used excessive force here. But both lawsuits also claim that the women had been rounded up and put into the cafeteria as a means of retaliation for them filing sexual misconduct complaints against the guards. So both lawsuits also claim that the women had been rounded up in the cafeteria so that the officers could conduct a property search, which the plaintiffs allege was part of retaliation for the women filing sexual misconduct complaints against the guards. And in one of the lawsuits, two plaintiffs allege that one officer told them separately that if they didn't get their peers to stop filing sexual misconduct complaints, then he would conduct a property search.
Okay, I feel like it's helpful to step back a little bit and think about this, you know, because if you're incarcerated, you don't have a lot of private space. So to then take that away when you're already in a prison situation is a form of control and kind of lording power over people, it sounds like. So putting them in the cafeteria, separating them from any minimal amount of privacy they have, and then going through their space was essentially seen as retaliatory for filing those sexual assault claims against the employees at the facility.
Yes. And it was characterized in the leaked audio interviews as a rather unusual property search. The type of property search that it was trying to reduce the women's property down to a certain volume. And they had been given, according to the audio interviews, they had been given less than 24 hours notice about this. And the warden said that she would have given them months in advance, notice before conducting such a property search in the interview that's attributed to the prison's warden.
I think the natural next question is, how has the California Department of Corrections responded to your reporting, both the spraying incident and the fact that this footage was leaked to the public?
So the comment that they gave me was saying that staff members had been terminated as a result of policy violations during this incident. And so the Department of Corrections did acknowledge the incident, acknowledged that there had been policy violations and that there had been consequences for those violations. They chose not to comment when asked. They chose not to comment on the leaks themselves.
Okay. I want to zoom out a little bit because the video of this incident and your subsequent reporting comes at a time of other major lawsuits playing out at women's prisons in the state. So what can you tell me about just the larger landscape here of prisons in California and sort of the treatment of folks who are incarcerated?
So these lawsuits come at a real moment of reckoning for California's women's prisons, particularly in terms of sexual abuse and retaliation when trying to speak out about this sexual abuse. So recent cases include the sentencing of Gregory Rodriguez, who was a former officer at Central California Women's Facility, and he was sentenced for the sexual abuse of 9 women this past August. And also last February, women alleged that the gynecologist at the California Institution for Women, which is another women's prison located in Chino, that this gynecologist sexually abused them. And then perhaps the most well-known case in recent years was the closure of FCI Dublin and a settlement with over 100 women there who alleged that they were sexually assaulted there. And this was the largest settlement in the history of the Bureau of Prisons.
Hannah Crin, reporting fellow with the Investigative Reporting Lab at Yale. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you so much for your time as well.
And you can read Hannah's full report on the San Francisco Chronicle's website. And that is today's show. Today's episode was produced by Jonathan Linden and KVPR with support from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. Find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org.
This is Tanya Mosley, co-host of Fresh Air. You'll see your favorite actors, directors, and comedians on late-night TV shows or YouTube, but what you get with Fresh Air is a deep dive. Spend some quality time with people like Billie Eilish, Questlove, Ariana Grande, Stephen Colbert, and so many more. We ask questions you won't hear asked anywhere else. Listen to the Fresh Air podcast from NPR and WHYY.